Two bands with roots to and ties to the Park Rapids area are part of this Great Northern Radio show on Saturday. One is a band that's kind of starting out, but you'll hear in just a moment that they have great instincts, ability, and I think they'll be their name will be on the rise quickly. Sterling Roots is who I'd be referring to, and I think you're really going to enjoy them. And Tree Party has made a pretty good splash for themselves since their debut release in 2011. They've got two other full-length releases since then. But we're going to go back to the 2011 release. Here's the song that I am so far looking forward the most to hearing. This one's called Sting, Stang, Stung from Tree Party on Center Stage, Minnesota. We'll be right back.
best world ever seen.
Turn my head away. I want other things on my mind. And someday when it's warm, a million years away, I'll come up from below and I will take my head away. I want other things on my mind. And it's so easy for me to say.
Diedrich Harkin, The Social Animals, Bird of Mine, formerly known as Diet Folk. Diedrich Harkin, The Social Animals will be on stage at Bridget's Pub this Friday, tomorrow at 7:30 in Bemidji. And they're a band out of Duluth. I really am rooting for these guys. It's really interesting because they've had all this potential, and I just want to see them. They actually weren't here that long ago, but I'm guessing that I'll be able to see a noticeable difference, whatever that may be, because they they've always kind of known. It seems like they have great sensibilities, tons of talent, tons of training, and they really have an idea of what good music is and pretty much have a pretty good idea of what they want to do. But at the same time, having that much potential has gotten them some attention, which is kind of pulling them apart or pulling them in different directions. And as far as I can tell, they're handling it, but sometimes that can be a real tough thing for a band, especially when you're younger and you're not even sure exactly what to be suspicious of in the music industry. And I think I've seen a lot of bands not survive that kind of thing. And I think they are going to. And it's just really really very interesting to see bands that are at this level that are morphing at such a rapid rate. It's just profoundly interesting. So Deidre Clark and the Social Animals, Bird of Mine, from their most recent release, also formerly known as Diet Folk, on stage at Bridget's at 7:30 this Friday evening. We heard the Sterling Roots with Where Are You? And Tree Party with Sting, Stang, Stung. Both bands part of the Great Northern Radio Show happening in Park Rapids this Saturday. We receive support from Marketplace Foods in Bemidji. Marketplace Foods offers a variety of choices in their produce department. A full-service meat and seafood case, a hot and cold deli featuring the Northwoods Cafe with a fireplace and Wi-Fi. More online at marketplacefoods.com. Well, Gabriel Douglas fronts both Silverback Colony and Four on the Floor. Most people probably became aware of Four on the Floor first, but chronologically in their order of being born or formed, Silverback Colony was first, but it was really kind of, well, he'll explain in this interview that I have coming up how that formation happened. It's got a little bit different focus in terms of what he's trying to produce. Four on the Floor is a little heavier, hard driving. Not that Silverback Colony doesn't get that way at times, but it's a little bit softer side of Gabriel Douglas. And so recently I got to talk to him and the rest of the band from Silverback Colony, and we're going to hear that interview coming up. But first we're going to hear this one from Silverback Colony's most recent release. It's called Sounds Like Silverback Colony, a North Country soundtrack. Here's a song he said he wrote about Duluth. It's called Great Escapes.
Oh, what a great city on such a great lake. I made a lot of great friends there. I made a lot of great mistakes. And if you just stop and listen to the wind, you'd hear I was blowing in. And if you just stop and listen, you'd hear I was blowing in. Stop and listen to the wind, you'd hear I was blowing in. And if you just stop and listen, you'd hear I was blowing in. We'll be right back. stop, stop and listen. You'd hear I was blowing in. And if you just stop and listen, you'd hear I was blowing in. And if you just stop and listen.
From songs like Silverback Colony and North Country Soundtrack, that is Great Escapes, and that is from Silverback Colony, a band fronted by Gabriel Douglas, also the frontman of Four on the Floor. And he originally, he came out of Stephen, Minnesota, and went to school in Duluth, and he just has this confidence about him. I'm curious. One question I haven't never asked him, I guess, or didn't at this to this point, is that, you know, did you always have that confidence in high school? It's not like he's sure that he knows exactly the right thing in every situation. It's almost more of a laid back kind of, I'm just going to do my best and how could that possibly be wrong? We'll just roll with it kind of confidence. And it brings a certain freedom, I think. I don't know. Gabe is an interesting character because he just doesn't he kind of gets the stage that he's at, which is quite a ways along, especially for his age, and both the instincts that he has for making good music. But at the same time, there's a part of you that says he doesn't know how good he is. So, which is interesting, and I bet you I could get friends of his to disagree with me on both points. But I let Gabe and the band introduce themselves because I think it's interesting how much in the Twin Cities these days, especially with serious musicians that are placing musicianship and making it nationally, or being considered in the top echelon, which means maybe you go out to the bar once in a while, but that doesn't derail you from your top goals of being considered a top echelon musician. And usually that means that somebody's in three or four at least bands to keep themselves busy all the time. Here's Silverback Colony.
My name's DJ. I play guitar in this band. I also play in a band called the Farewell Circuit down in Minneapolis, and I play guitar and piano in that band.
I'm Al Church, and I play drums with Silverback Colony sometimes. And also I play drums sometimes with Farewell Circuit. I play guitar in BB Gun and Al Church in State. And I play bass with Pink Mink as well.
I'm John Lemko. I'm playing bass with Silverback Colony, and I play bass with Gabe in Four on the Floor, too. And I play guitar in a couple bands. There's Last Gold Leaf and The Blowout, and I play in some cover bands every once in a while, too. Whatever gets thrown at me, I like to do.
And I'm Gabriel Douglas. I front Silverback Colony and the Four on the Floor, and I have a down-tempo band called Orca Colony as well.
Silverback Colony, as far as I know, started in Duluth as pretty much a jam night that was sort of an open night.
Yeah, I mean, it was even less of a thing than that. I was in Duluth on Monday nights, and whoever would show up. There wasn't like a roll call or like me playing, and people would be like, I got a guitar in my car, and I'd be like, well, go get it. There was a drum set left over there one weekend, and the drummer sat in and grew out of all that.
Gabe, your voice is really an amazing instrument. I've known that for a while, but I guess the most obvious thing that jumps out at people is your ability to have like punch and bass and volume. But once you get past that, there's also like this incredible mid range. It's like this steely, really high quality mid range. It does a little bit of a cracking, but you're pretty much in control of that at the same time, which mm-hmm. really adds an urgency and intensity to it. So there's the ability to, there's what you have at your fingertips there in terms of a tool, and then there's using it, and it seems like you really use it effectively too, dynamics and such. Has that developed over time? I mean, when did you first realize your voice?
I was a huge fan of 70s arena rock when I was in high school, and so all of my high school bands, I sang falsetto most of the time, like, you know, Robert Plant type stuff. And I moved to Duluth, and I was in cover bands there too, and I kind of just sang whatever. It wasn't until I started a band called the Sequoia, and I was the front man, and I just kind of was almost like a Jim Morrison-esque type, where I would, like, howl on a couple songs, you know, like, it really punch it in there, and I was like, oh, I can really yell. I always knew that I could be a loud person. I mean, it's, knowing how to utilize your arsenal is a whole another ball of wax. So when Four on the Floor started, you know, I did. I decided to really be dynamic about it. Even the first demos of Four on the Floor, most of it is like spoken word first two verses, and then the third verse, I'm just yelling at you. I mean, so I think I polished that off a little more as we got into the studio for the first record. But yeah, I really like being able to bring your voice to the edge, you know, like where, you know, it might break, it might not. Usually now I'm pretty self-aware of that. If we're on the road for, you know, a month or two, I have to be aware of where my voice is because I've blown it out twice. But it was very like, I knew it was going to get blown out. Like it was me being careless, not me being, oh my gosh, I lost my voice.
I was going to ask you about that too. I have a follow-up question. Because I remember like when Four on the Floor started, the next day you would have like, be like, oh, I had a show last night, yeah, and there's like no voice left. And I've just noticed now that I'm playing with Four on the Floor, your voice holds up a lot better. I don't know if that's just you like having learned how to control it better or just take care, better care of yourself, or if you've just gotten in better vocal shape or something like that, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where there's a lot of things being thrown into the pot, and it works. Like, I am a lot more aware. Like, if we're doing, you know, 2 hours a night for four nights straight, I'll be able to exercise my voice in a way that I'm not waking up every day with no voice. But at the same time, like when we're ending tours and we have like two shows left in like Albuquerque and Denver, I will blow my voice out in Denver knowing that I have 3 days to get it back, you know, like lay it out on the line.
When it breaks, do you control that? Are you able to let that happen just a little bit? Because what it does is it really adds this urgency and intensity, especially when it's in that mid-range area where you're kind of getting the volume up there, but it's not so much yelling as it's definitely singing. There's an extra intensity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of like Alice Barhawk and like a lot of the stuff he did with early Retribution Gospel Choir, even their sort of live stuff where he'd belt stuff and like let his voice deteriorate. So yeah, I'm definitely aware of it. Yeah, I mean, that's something that I do. It is an intentional urgency being put upon it.
DJ, one thing I thought was interesting last night with Silverback Colony that I didn't pick up as much on the record. You guys add this element of this sort of psychedelic shoegaze, and you really have an ability for that type of guitar playing, which is an additional twist on top of the short description of what Silverback Colony presents. Talk about that. What's your history with that kind of playing and stuff? Obviously, yeah, You've been doing that to some degree because you definitely aren't just experimenting up there. You know what you're doing with it.
Since I started playing guitar, I was always attracted to the shoegazers and all of that, and pedals and sound. And what was fun with Gabe is growing up with him on those Duluth nights and bringing my pedal board and seeing how I could fit it in with like his alt country kind of songs and covers, and trying to mash up two rather disparate styles created something kind of interesting and a little bit inspiring. And the fact that it's so off the cuff and often improvised, it's really fun to get down and like, how can I push it to a certain point before it becomes ridiculous and it doesn't fit in anymore.
I also think it's an interesting aspect to add on. You say that alt country with a rock punch.
Alt country with crazy horse tendencies, you know? I mean, that's not what I wrote down, but it is. It's very much more of a singer-songwriter full band vibe versus a rock band mentality.
I find the psychedelic aspect very interesting because it fit really well, but it, like you say, I don't think I've ever heard anybody try to put those together before. They're both styles I love, but I'd never really thought about trying to put them together before either. So
no, I mean, and DJ, you know, I make light of his pedal board as the spaceship, you know, like he is the astronaut in the band. He knows how to guide that thing. Like you put me in front of that thing, I wouldn't know even where to put my feet, so...
Come in, down, door. a lion that sits on my bed. Lord knows he's never been fed. He just sits and waits and sit and wait. And you know some days you better not hesitate. You better
lie.
You better find your feet. You better
lie.
You better get your legs beneath you. Better
lie.
Find those feet below. You better
lie.
Get those legs beneath. Oh yeah. Oh
from the debut release from Four on the Floor, fronted by Gabriel Douglas. Lionhearted there. That's 4x4 is the name of that record. And then we heard a short interlude there called Quit Your Job, Join Our Crew. Silverback Colony inviting you to, strip away some of the responsibilities. And then their version of Room at the Top, a Tom Petty song. They're a decent length one, and you got a bit of a taste of what DJ was DJ's ability to play that sort of shoegaze rock, and how it kind of does manage to meld with Gabriel's overall style pretty well. We would like to thank Mark Young, Tax and Accounting in Grand Rapids, providing income tax preparation, accounting, and payroll services for the region. Thanks also to Blandon Foundation for their support. The Blandon Foundation, strengthening rural Minnesota. More at blandonfoundation.org. This is Center Stage Minnesota on Northern Community Radio. It's our show at Northern Community Radio where we focus on the talents of Minnesota musicians. And Center Stage Minnesota is an original series produced by Northern Community Radio and broadcast on the stations of Ampers. Find us online at kaxe.org. Program support comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We are in, I have Silverback Colony in the studio. We did, I played some Four on the Floor because both of these bands are essentially Gabriel Douglas's bands. He's the front person and the songwriter when the song isn't a rendition or a cover. So we did some of these conversations are more general, and before the end of this interview, there's definitely some interesting sort of general topic stuff that I think was just kind of fun to hear musicians like this talk about, and not necessarily always tied to their specific project. And I asked Gabriel Douglas next about where he leans in Silverback Colony versus Four on the Floor. I was talking with Nate in town here at 2 and 8 Productions, and he was wondering what the deal was with that. And I was just speculating. I was like, I think it's probably a lot, something like a Dead Man Winter or something where you do need to leave some time. So when you come back with that next record, people aren't going, oh, there's another record from that band. Even though they like it, it's, hey, there's finally a new record out, and they're thirsty for it again. But at the same time, you don't want to spend that downtime as downtime, so you may as well get something.
Well, first, I'm the biggest advocate of lounging and sleeping. Like, those are my two favorite activities that I don't get around to probably as much as I would like to. But, talking about Dave and the Dave Simonette Band and Dead Men Winter and the Trampled, like, the whole hierarchy.
Pardon me, that is the wrong segment. You seem kind of compelled, even if you're drawn to alt country, you kind of want to put your own stamp on it, but using sort of the tools that you have and that might be unique. I almost get this feeling that even if your voice wasn't this sort of its own entity, you would still have that inclination as a musician to maybe step in and embody something that you admire in terms of a genre or a sound, but and not necessarily turn it on its head, but throw a twist or two or three in there.
I would love to say that it's a very, you know, intentional thing, but I think it's almost based out of necessity. Like, I'm not very good at emulating other people. When I try and sound like somebody else, I usually sound like me, for better or worse. I really wanted to be in a post-pop punk band, like, so bad when I was coming out of college. Like, I was like, I want to be in Manchester Orchestra or Brand New. Like, I want to be in a band that's two guitars and, like, hating on ex-girlfriends and, you know.
Like, there's really, the sadness.
Yeah.
There it is.
I was like, that's what I wanted to do. And every time I try to write songs like that, I can't. It's not in my wheelhouse. The Minneapolis sound, like, just those two words together are like the Prince and Time to a lot of people, you know, like the Minneapolis sound. But I mean, to me, the Minneapolis sound is the first bands I found out about that were in Minneapolis, which is like 12 Rods, Love Cars, Cowboy Curtis, Halloween Alaska, All the Star, Vicious Vicious, the Olympic Hopefuls. To me, that's like my Minneapolis sound. I was like, they're writing kind of like pop punk music, but it's not pop punk at all. It's catchy, like it's indie rock. Like, that was indie rock and alternative to me was like REM, you know, like that sort of thing that I didn't really. It was always the CDs when I was getting my 12 for, you know, $1 from BMG. They were the CDs where I was like, I don't really want to be alternative. I'm going to get some classic rock. Yeah. And then, like, now, like, the indie rock that I was learning about was blowing my mind. And then I tried to write songs like that, and I couldn't do that either. So, I mean, it's cool that, like, I have, like, I'm glad that you say that. Like, I kind of put my own spin on old country, and because I'm not really good at playing the type of music that I, you know, is my favorite, where people are playing rock and roll music and just having fun again. Whereas, like, I feel in like the late 70s and then coming into the 80s, you either were like a punk kid who was like, I'm going to be underground my whole entire life, or you were like, I love Winger and, you know, Cinderella and Twisted Sister. And like, it became this giant thing that was, I don't know, not as fun. It became a machine, yeah. You know, that you were like, you're a kid, you know, like you're the jukebox hero kid, you know, you get your guitar and you want to do this thing. And then, like, I feel like if you started playing rock and roll music in the 80s and 90s, if you got to where you wanted to be, you realize you were just a pilot in a machine, you know, instead of having fun playing rock and roll music, which I feel like all of my, like, I'm happy enough to, like the Drive-By Truckers, I talked to Patterson after his show. Those guys are just having fun. And, like, they're playing music, and people are getting turned on to it through the internet and through word of mouth and, you know, just through them hitting the ground, you know? For me, Silverback Colony kind of happened because Four on the Floor, you know, you need to take breaks so people don't get burned out. But me, I'd rather play 300 shows a year than not play shows. You know, like, I'm not a dude who wants to sit in a studio, or I could, but if you gave me the choice, I'd be on the road.
Out of my head, I just need to retrace all the things that you said. I just need to get this out of my head, cause the thoughts I thought of from God coming full steam ahead. Turn the oldies station on, it's the only thing we need right.
shelter I can see. 'Cause it all comes down between you and me. And it'll come down, even if you're still just curled up on.
Silverback Colony, Thunderhead is the opening track to their record. Sounds like Silverback Colony, a North Country soundtrack. A record recorded, incidentally, up in at Sparta Sound by Rich Madsen in Sparta up on the Iron Range. And we are in the middle of a conversation with Gabriel Larson and Silverback Colony. Programming is supported by Minnesota Energy Resources, encouraging home and business owners to install energy-efficient appliances and equipment. Energy-saving tips at energyresources.com. Okay, well, pardon me if this sounds a little redundant. We did continue that point about taking a break, as he did from Four on the Floor, and doing something else and letting you get a fresh desire for that band and also for your fans. I was talking with Nate in town here at 2 and 8 Productions, and he was wondering what the deal was with that. And I was just speculating. I was like, I think it's probably a lot, something like a Dead Man Winter or something where you do need to leave some time. So when you come back with that next record, people aren't going, oh, there's another record from that band. Even though they like it, it's, hey, there's finally a new record out, you know, and they're thirsty for it again. But at the same time, you don't want to spend that downtime as downtime, you know. So you may as well get something.
Well, first, going. I'm the biggest advocate of lounging and sleeping. Like, those are my two favorite activities that I don't get around to probably as much as I would like to. But I mean, talking about Dave and the Dave Simonette Band and Dead Man Winter and the Trampled, like the whole hierarchy of where that stuff goes. I talk to Dave every now and then, and like, we don't even talk about it, but just watching what he does with it was like a huge inspiration about Silverback Colony. Because I remember DJ started coming up with me to Duluth and kind of hashing out some of these songs that were kind of ideas and then were full songs, and people were starting to vibe on them. Like, people were singing along with songs, you know, at the pub. And getting that first Dead Man Winter disc and just being like, oh man, this is really cool. And then I saw Jeff Tweedy solo down in Iowa, and that was kind of an inspiration too, of just being like, you can turn some songs on their heads, or you can, you know, just play covers that you want to play. To me, I was like, I would love to make that into an alt country song. Pretty simple corners to turn that I didn't even know, you know, that was a cross street where I was like, oh yeah, that's nice.
You know, I noticed that in general that the inhabiting of, well, like you're talking about Cinderella and Winger and all that, you know, it's like those guys, like you say, they're such a small part of what even their most avid fans are interested in. When the spectacle is way more important than, I wouldn't even say you, but your creation, mm-hmm. That's a problem. No matter how many people are coming to see you, artistically, it's a problem. I see a lot of stuff going back to attitude. It's interesting that the radio station here, we don't get a lot of blues anymore sent to us because it's just not being created to the level, I don't think, and that's mm-hmm. partly because the demand has fallen off. Chris Holm gave me that Javier and the Innocent Sons, and I couldn't stop playing that record, and I'm just like, this is, you know, part of the problem, I think, with what's gone on with blues. And you could translate this into other genres, but it's probably the most applicable to blues, is that, you know, for so long there's super clean production, super high focus on technical perfection, and it's a genre kind of like punk where it was born out of attitude.
Well, no, I mean, as soon as you get to the big box, you know, manifesto of, you know, let's get this to the biggest amount of people that we can in the quickest amount of time possible, you lose stuff. So, like, yeah, especially with blues, you know, you got into really nice studios, you got to the clean strat stuff and the formula of a 12-bar blues that is just watered down and at a suburban barbecue joint. Like, it's not, like, that's not fun to me. That's super boring. But at the same time, you know, the same thing kind of happened with punk, too. And it's really funny because I have a lot of punk friends that, like, hate the blues, and I have a lot of blues friends that hate punk. And I'm like, the roots of both of those musics have more in common than any other two genres of music that I know of. Like, that's just people playing music to play music and to emote and to, you know, have a sense of community. Reading books from, like, Henry Rollins and the East Coast hardcore scene was, like, super inspiring to me as a high schooler. And even the emo scene of, like, the Dashboard Confessional and Chris Carrabra and The Promise Ring and all of that stuff. That was so inspirational to me, being like, he was just playing people's basements. Like, he was playing people's basements, and I got to find out about him because of the internet. Like, that's insane to me.
Why do you think that is? When you're talking about punk rock and blues, why are there two different camps?
For me, I think there's people who like to grow community, and there's people who like to be a part of a community. And there can be a difference between those people. Once the thing gets, when things gets big enough, you have a lot of people in that community now that want to put gates on the community versus invite more people in.
Totally.
And I feel like both blues and punk reached, you know, like the ballooning point to where there was more people in the other camp versus the other camp.
Well, the clean blues is probably one of the lowest on the spectrum in terms of what I like the super clean sounding. But over at KAXE in Grand Rapids, we've got a huge back catalog. And so we've got all these Arahuli releases and stuff where just any old one you pull out and there some guy that probably made one record, or it's a cobbled together recording of some, you know, of some live recordings, and it's just it's got a dirty lo-fi sound, and I love it. And they're getting after it, and even if it's not fast and loud or whatever, they're getting it after it in a different sense. And I love that stuff, but the newer stuff, the clean blues. But I think it's also a time thing. I think when each one sprang up, because I think once a genre matures, you get scholars and blah blah blah, historians, and then they sort of petrify it.
No, I remember when, yeah, or they're better, you know, on the first record or that whole vibe. And like, the funniest thing is I have some buddies who are huge clean blues fans, and the biggest thing that I need to like reiterate to people is that there's enough room in the world for clean blues and whatever. There's so many times when people, when I talk about my musical taste and my opinion, that people get offended. And I'm like, as long as you have a musical opinion, I respect it. And I want to talk to you about music. No, I'm not looking to convert anybody to the bands that I like, but I would at least like to turn you on to things that I think you might like. Like, that's one of my favorite things in the world, is to make people, you know, a mix, and they are telling me what songs they like and don't like.
Yeah, it's fun talking to Gabe about music in general. We could go on until we die in that way. We receive support from Bonner Eye Clinic in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, celebrating over 50 years of serving the eye care needs of this region. The Bonner Eye Clinic offers a complete spectrum of eye care services and takes pride in their technology, safety, and results. More at BonnerEyeClinic.com. Thanks to Gabe and everyone in Silverback Colony for joining me on Center Stage Minnesota. New music's coming up, and DJ is going to bring us there with some of his shoegaze guitar playing.